Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in. Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report underway here on the Big X Sports Radio. Thanks for being with us. We do this each weekday at 11 o'clock. It's complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective. And a reminder as well, just a couple things. We replay the show most days at 3 p.m. if you miss it live at 11. And it's always available. I get a lot of questions about how to find us after the fact on podcast. There's two easy ways to do so. SoundCloud is a free app you can download to your phone, or you can go to directly to soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Also, the Apple Podcast app. It's on most phones. You can download it for free if you don't have it. It's a great way to keep up with what we do each day on this program. You can go back and listen whenever you're on the treadmill, maybe, whenever you've got some free time in the car. It's great for you to listen on demand whenever you've got the opportunity. So check both of those out. I know a lot of you podcast and some maybe a little new to it, but those are two of the easier ways that I've found for you to connect with what we're doing each day here on the Hoosier Report. Let's take a look at the guest lineup today. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. We've got a lot going today. Segment one, we'll have our Hoosier headlines, news of the day presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Our headlines today, Romeo Langford. He's the Big Ten Freshman of the Week again, co-freshman of the week this week. We'll talk about that. Also, some notes and news from last night's Archie Miller's radio show. He had a couple weeks in a row where the program had been recorded due to Indiana's travel schedule, but this week live again up in Bloomington last night. We always carry the show right here Monday nights at 7:05 on the Big X Sports Radio. We'll recap some of that for you. Take a look at the Big Ten Conference as well. I meant to do this last week or earlier this week. Now that the early little jot of conference games is over, most or everyone in the conference has played two games now, and five teams, one of those Indiana, obviously, with 2-0 records, which is a nice jump start before the actual conference season gets here. I think IU starts January 3rd with the rest of its Big Ten conference slate for the rest of the way. We'll take a look at the conference here in just a second after those two early games. Rondale Moore gets a big award yesterday and a couple high school basketball notes, those all coming up in the first segment. Later in the show, segment two, Greg Doyle, great columnist from the Indianapolis Star, who's always so fun to have on the program, will join us for his weekly segment presented by Coffee Crossing. With Greg, we'll obviously talk IU's win over Louisville. We'll talk about Archie Miller and Chris Mack, who I think are two of the great younger coaches in college basketball. Little Rondale Moore, Tyler Trent update as well. I know he's got a Purdue connection, but he obviously is fighting the battle of his life, and it was awesome to see him at the College Football Awards to get some opportunity to share his message, and I know that Greg stays in close contact with him, so we'll talk with him, get the latest from Tyler and his courageous message that he's had now for a number of months as he fights terminal cancer. So all of that coming up with Greg Doyle. Later in the show, we'll turn our attention back to IU and talk some IU hoops with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com. IU getting ready for the Butler game coming up on Saturday. Interesting game. Should be another great challenge. Really, Indiana's last big non-conference challenge before they have a couple easier games a little later in the month and then get ready for the start of Big Ten Conference play, or I guess I should say the restart of Big Ten Conference play coming up at the first of the year. So Mike Pegram with us to round things out later in the show. That's the guest lineup. It's presented each day by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You'll get $1 off your boxed lunch at Honey Baked Ham. Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill. We'll start with Romeo Langford, Big Ten Freshman of the Week. He's sharing it with the freshman from Michigan, whose name I will butcher if I try to pronounce it. This is the second time that Romeo has shared or has had that honor. His last honor came earlier in the year on the week of November 19th. Last week, he averaged 19 points, 3.5 rebounds, 2.5 assists, and shot 50% from the field, leading IU. And again, these were two comeback victories, you could say, over Penn State, a Big Ten conference game. Then, of course, on Saturday in a rivalry game against Louisville. Big, big performances from Langford. And we said this yesterday on the program, really don't think like feel like he's come uncorked yet. That'll happen soon, I predict. We'll see. But still big performances from him, big enough to be honored in what is a really talented freshman class, I think, in the Big Ten Conference. And Romeo Langford right up there at the top of things, at least at this point of the season. Last night we had the Archie Miller Show. It's always interesting to hear from Archie because he doesn't talk that much. He does talk more during the season because he has the press conferences after the games where you get questions and things like that. And you also have some preview opportunities where they'll preview the next couple games. But his radio shows are a very, very valuable way of finding out things from him that you might not hear elsewhere. And the last two have been recorded. This one was live again, and it was up to date, meaning it wasn't recorded maybe over the weekend after a game. It was a little more fresh, but some good news, some good notes, I thought, last night, from Archie Miller. A couple interesting quotes that I copied and pasted to read today. He was talking about Romeo Langford last night. He said, quote, "He's an easy guy to like. He's a terrific kid. He's quiet. He's humble. He doesn't pay attention to a whole lot other than what he's being taught. If he doesn't understand something, he asks." Just in watching him last week, he got us going at Penn State in the first half and was really able to get us off the floor, so to speak, with his offense. His defense is getting better and better. In the Louisville game on Saturday, I thought he was aggressive and attack-oriented as he's been. To be able to draw 10 personal fouls as a guard is incredible. Again, that's Archie Miller talking about Romeo Langford from his coach's show last night. I didn't realize that. Romeo drew 10 personal fouls as a guard in that game. Really unbelievable. Also, Miller talking about Romeo when it says IU's focus on Romeo really isn't scoring. Archie said, quote, "We're trying to get him to become as complete as he possibly can be. And I'll say this, the rise of his defense from October to November and now into December, he's done a much better job defensively." And again, that's Archie Miller on Romeo Langford. Interesting that in both of the real conversations last night with Don Fisher on the Archie Miller Coaches Show, he talked mainly about Romeo's defense as well and how it's improved. And that's something that we said going into the season would be very interesting to see how Romeo could lock down on defense. He's never really had to do it, getting the opportunity to do so now and into December, doing a good job, at least Coach Miller thinks so. Archie also said that he does not feel his team would have won either of the games last week, the Penn State or Louisville games, without the outstanding performances of Rob Phinisee. Obviously, kind of speaks for himself what he did, especially late and in the second half in the Louisville game with some big shots. And it just felt to me like Phinisee was a part in some ways, whether he was the scorer or the assist man or really got the play going and orchestrated things. He was a part of a lot of big plays down the stretch in the win for IU over Louisville on Saturday. One other thing I want to mention from Coach Miller in his show yesterday, he really likes Deron Davis. It's clear from his comments that he thinks he can really help the team. Here's what he said about Deron. Quote, "A lot of people don't understand how hard it is to have to come into a season and work your way into shape as the season is going on. Number one, it's very difficult, and number two, your body just doesn't feel good." And to his credit, he's kind of chopped wood, and he's in the best shape of this current season. He's heading toward January, which we hoped he would be, as being the leanest and best conditioned that he can be. Based on, and that's Archie Miller again on Deron Davis, based on what he said now in a couple weeks consecutive about Deron, it seems like they have plans for him, big plans for him to be part of this team when he can be fully healthy and as much fully in shape as I guess you can possibly be, trying to get back in shape after some injuries while the season is going on. So a lot of interesting stuff from Archie Miller last night on his coach's show, which can be heard every Monday right here on the Big X Sports Radio beginning at 7:05. Of course, it's hosted by the great Don Fisher as well. Big Ten Conference games, everybody has played two. Teams now back into non-conference play. After those two games, five teams in the conference with 2-0 records. Indiana obviously is one of those after defeating Northwestern and Penn State. Wisconsin is also 2-0. Ohio State is 2-0. Michigan State is 2-0. And Michigan is 2-0. No real surprises out of any of those five teams, I think, that are undefeated, at least through the early portion of conference play. You've got a number of 1-1 teams: Nebraska, Maryland, Minnesota, Purdue, and those are the 1-1 teams: Northwestern, Penn State, Iowa, and Rutgers, the 0-2 team. So I think if you had to kind of lay it out going into those first two games about who you predicted would be undefeated, who might have a split, and who might not have a win yet in the early conference schedule, that might be exactly how you'd lay it out. Indiana maybe could be a team some would predict to be 1-1 at this point, but nonetheless, two important wins for Indiana. If they're going to compete with that top group, and I think Michigan is really good, I think Michigan State can be very good. Ohio State is dangerous. We'll see if they stay at the top. Wisconsin, obviously led by Ethan Happ, they're always going to be competitive. And Indiana right there. If they want to stay in that competitive group, they're going to have to continue early in the conference in January to win some of the tough games. And Indiana really has a tough stretch to reopen conference play in January, as we've previously discussed. A couple other notes: Rondale Moore, Purdue freshman, New Albany native, was named a first-team All-American yesterday by the Associated Press. He's a wide receiver, but was selected to the team as an all-purpose player. Lots of awards for the freshman Rondale Moore after his great freshman season for Jeff Brohm and the Boilermakers. He leads the nation, 103 receptions, the second most in a season by a Big Ten player. He's fourth nationally in all-purpose yards at 2,048. He's tied for seventh in receiving touchdowns, which he had 12, and 11th in receiving yards at 1,164. Terrific year for Rondale Moore. We'll see what the future holds for him, but obviously he's someone that is doing a tremendous job in representing Southern Indiana. I think a lot of people forget he's a New Albany guy, played his first 2 years at New Albany, was a basketball standout as well, part of the state championship team, then went to Trinity and finished his final 2 years there before flipping his commitment and going to play at Purdue for Jeff Brohm. A couple high school basketball notes to pass along. Coaches Association Top 20. I love that poll. No class, top 20 teams in the state, coaches that are scouting and watching and playing against each other, voting in this poll. Warren Central's number one, Carmel 2, Ben Davis 3. Floyd Central at 5-0. They are up to number 4 as they are in the top 5 of that poll. New Albany is tied for 13th with Indianapolis Attucks. Jeffersonville, after the loss, they drop to number 15 after losing to Carmel over the weekend. And Silver Creek at 6-0. They are just now entering the poll. So our local teams, Floyd Central, New Albany, Jeffersonville, and Silver Creek, 20% of the top 20 from Clark and Floyd counties here in Southern Indiana. I read that yesterday in the News and Tribune. That's a tremendous stat for our local boys basketball teams, at least at the early part of the season. It's also a crime that Silver Creek is 20th in that poll. They are much better than 20th. If I had a ballot in that coach's poll, I'd put them in the top 10, to be honest with you. They are going to be up there, I think, at some point this season, but they bump into the poll after receiving votes for a number of weeks at the number 20 position. One other quick note, the Sagarin ratings, which are really fun to take a look at. They're statistically based, based on scores. A lot of different factors go into that. It's a computer-type ranking for high school basketball. Floyd Central, number 5, with a score of 93.76 in the first Sagarin ratings out for the 2018-19 season. Who's number 7? Silver Creek, 92.17. Jeffersonville is number 17 in the latest Sagarin ratings as well. Really like those ratings. You can learn a lot about teams from a statistical standpoint, from a matchup standpoint, and Floyd Central and Silver Creek both in the top 10 in those first ratings. And this is a correction from yesterday, or really not a correction, but just something I flat left out. We were handing out game balls, hypothetical game balls. I do it every Monday for some of the big performances in high school basketball locally. I left off Cade Badger of Henryville. He had 45 points the other night for the Hornets. And Henryville, not near the team they were a year ago, some early season struggles. But Cade Badger is taking advantage of being a leader on that team after graduating some other key players last year. He has had some huge outputs for Henryville. 45 points, I mentioned the other night. And last week, he averaged 33.3 points over three games that Henryville played. So we want to give him a game ball from over the weekend from last week as well, and did not do that on Monday. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill with fresh made-to-order food, a great selection of craft brews, and the best sports atmosphere around. Hoopsters has karaoke and a DJ on Friday nights, a live band on Saturdays as well. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. We'll head to a break. We'll come back with Greg Doyle from the Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. That's next here on a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back on this Tuesday program. Greg Doyle, columnist with the Indianapolis Star, with us each week on this day. And our chat with Greg is presented by Coffee Crossing. Now that schools are back in session, stop by for coffee on your way to drop the kids off or come stay a while once they are safely at their desk. Either way, let Coffee Crossing brighten your day. Greg, great to have you with us today. A lot of topics I want to cover in a short amount of time, and let's start with the big one, IU basketball, with a big win at Assembly Hall on Saturday afternoon over Louisville, a great natural rival. It was a classic game down to the very end, and Romeo Langford led the way for the Hoosiers.
Yeah, this is it's just so awesome to watch. And this is going to be weird, I realize, but we all knew this was happening. We all knew it was going to happen. We knew it from the moment he signed with IU, and we knew it since he was really a high school freshman. He's going to do these things. We all knew it. And yet, actually, it's here. It's almost like, you know, Christmas is coming, but it doesn't mean that Christmas Day isn't special, right? I mean, we know it's coming. We see it coming. But holy cow, do we enjoy Christmas. Well, Romeo is, you know, games like this, this is our Christmas. This is we've seen this day coming. And holy cow! I mean, he's not doing this to Montana State. You know, he's doing this to Louisville. I'm just really pleased. And he was asked afterward about what is it like to play, you know, your rival down there. You could have gone to that school. And Romeo, being Romeo, just deflected the heck out of that one. Wasn't going to touch it with a 10-foot pole, which is the way you should handle that, but not the way a lot of 18-year-olds would handle it.
Greg, I was thinking Saturday, really, and you've covered stuff for years, long before the Indianapolis Star, but has there ever been a college basketball freshman that you've written more about than Romeo Langford? I mean, you started covering at a fairly reasonable age in his high school career, and then, of course, the coverage from you and everyone else really ramped up as his recruiting process and kind of his legacy, his reputation soared around the state of Indiana and beyond. But do you think that he ranks up there maybe with the most coverage and most you've gotten to follow up close and maybe get to know someone through a media player relationship than Romeo?
The only guy that comes close, and he doesn't match it, but there's one guy came close. This is about 15 years ago, and only the hardcore fans are going to even recognize this name because sometimes you just don't know. But this guy's name was Shavlik Randolph. You remember Shavlik Randolph?
The name, yes.
Yeah, I mean, how do you forget the name Shavlik Randolph? He went to Duke, but he's from Raleigh, North Carolina. I was covering the three ACC schools right there in the triangle for the Observer in Charlotte, and Shavlik was the biggest recruit in the state. He was. Since David Thompson 30 years earlier. The state hadn't seen Carolina, Duke, and NC State trying to get this one kid, and a kid from Raleigh, no less. They hadn't seen that since David Thompson 30 years earlier. And Chadwick just didn't pan out. He went in the NBA for a couple years, but he just didn't pan out. So it happens that way. I got to know Chadwick a little bit because I knew he mattered. I knew I liked him. And to the point that I wrote one story on him. His family let me roam his house. Like, they had to take Shavlik to the dentist or something, and I was there interviewing him. Like, yeah, you can just close the door when you're ready to leave. And they left me alone. So I'm walking around his house taking notes on posters on the walls and things like that. So Romeo's family, you got to step up your game. I've never roamed your house before. But maybe that day's coming. I hope so.
Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star. This segment is presented by Coffee Crossing. And you mentioned kind of deflecting some of those post-game comments. And there have been many times, different situations through his recruitment as a high school player and now as a player at Indiana where you hear a question, you think, ooh, you know, how's he going to answer this one? And then I think there's that moment, even before he answers, when you realize this is Romeo Langford. He's quiet. He's subdued. He's not a blow-off. He's not going to take the bait here. He's going to deflect it and maybe not hardly give you any words at all.
Yeah, he's wise beyond his years. I mean, he's an old soul is what he is. You can just talk. I mean, he's not impressed by himself, and he does a lot of things that just you'd like to think we would all do it that way if we were him, and I can tell you for sure that none of us would, because I've seen a whole bunch of people like Romeo, and I've never seen one do it like he does it as well as he does it. I'm talking about off the court, the maturity and all that. So it's not a surprise when he scores 21 against Louisville and, you know, gets to the free throw line whenever he wants. And that's not a surprise. We've all seen it. And it's not a surprise when he handles the media the way he handles us, because we've all seen that too. And yet every time he does either of those, it's so rewarding, really, to have kind of – and I wasn't there for Ground Zero. I've only been in the state for 4 years, so I wasn't there when he was a seventh grader. But I was sort of there for Ground Zero when he took off nationally. And it's really rewarding to see the kid and the player that we all knew he was since 2014 when I got here, be that same guy on this huge stage, and now the country can see. And I still remember the way Archie and Juwan Morgan were talking about Romeo in the preseason, that, and you could tell it was new to them, and it's not anymore, but they were really kind of surprised, probably the wrong word, but they were really pleased at who he was as a human being. Like, just because you shouldn't be who you are as a human being when you're that good, but they... Because you could split up a team. He's got all these in-state recruits and all these returning players, and yet Romeo is, I mean, just a whole different ballgame. I mean, he's just different in this day. We're not going to – I don't know. IU will get another one like him someday, I guess, but I don't know. You know, I'm in my upper 40s. I'm not sure I'll be around to see it. I mean, he's that rare. So it could have split the team up, all the popularity he has, and it's done the exact opposite because they all just love the guy.
Yeah, I agree. And I thought it was really interesting, but not surprising because of Juwan Morgan and the way that he talks to the media himself and the leadership that he shows on and off the floor. But after that Louisville game, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he said, hey, Rob Thinnessy and Romeo Langford, I don't consider those guys freshmen anymore. They're almost like veterans. And I guess with the roles that they're playing and being forced to play, talking about Rob with injuries at times and the minutes he got early on, I guess that's true. And it's, I'm sure, good for those guys to know that the senior leader, the guy that's been there through the thick and thin, is considering them now almost on his level in many ways.
Yeah, and we saw this happening. And I know I told you, and I'm not so smart, it was obviously going to happen, that Finnessy, with Devontae Green's injury and all the injuries they've had, Finnessy was going to be forced to get all these minutes, and it was just going to be the best thing for him, and ultimately in the long run the best thing for IU, because he really is the only pure point guard on the roster. I mean, they can try Devontae Green there, he's a great scorer, they can try Durham there, but Finnessy is the guy, and he was force-fed minutes that maybe he wasn't going to get, and he's got a 2-to-1 assist turnover ratio right now, and he wasn't perfect against Duke, but he's the best they got, and he's only going to get better, and he's gotten – I mean, he was a skinny little guy when he was at McCutcheon. I mean, skinny little guy. And that IU strength and conditioning program is no joke. And I know he got a little bit bigger as a high school senior because I saw him as a senior, and, okay, you've gained 10, 15 pounds. He was telling me about that. But he's – I mean, he's a man. He was a kid at McCutcheon. He was a kid and just quicker than everybody else, and he was great. But he's a man now. Romeo was a man in high school, but now he's a grown man. I mean, he was – I mean, you know, I guess the best way to say this is Finnessy went from a kid to a man. Romeo went from a man to a pro,
yeah,
physically.
Absolutely. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. And I mentioned this yesterday, but I'm going to bring it up again because you did a great job talking about Rob Finnessy as well. If he stays at Indiana, and I don't know what his where he projects in the professional game. Obviously, he's not a one and done, or I don't think a two and done, or anything like that. I would assume he's a 4-year player, but in today's world, you just never know exactly maybe how the player sees it, or what he's being told to do, or what opportunities could change and be out there in the near future. Who knows? But if he does stay at Indiana for 4 years, like I think he will, and is a part of some big change and big leadership under Archie Miller as his regime really takes hold and his defense and his offense really takes hold with this program, and Trace Jackson Davis comes in next year, maybe Keon Brooks comes in next year, other top players return. Don't you think in 4 years, with the way he handles himself on and off the floor, he could kind of be one of the legendary four-year IU guys?
Yeah, absolutely. I hadn't thought about that. But yes, much like, boy, I'm going to mention the enemy now, but, you know, I know Kentucky, when they had their transition from, I think it was when, Sutton? Who was it? The roof fell in on Sutton, I think it
yes.
was.
Yeah,
and Patino came in, and his first couple years, they weren't great, but those classes that came in transitioned it.
The Unforgettables.
And those guys are legends in that state.
And the Unforgettables.
Yeah, I'd already forgotten that, but the Unforgettables. Yeah, and IU clearly didn't come from that. I mean, you know, Crean didn't cheat. I mean, it wasn't that way at all. But still, this is the start of Archie Miller, and we all think Archie is going to be here a long time and going to win a whole lot of games. And so how you start is what people, you know, one thing they're going to remember. And, yes, they're going to remember this team, and they're going to remember that point guard. And I remember when Chris Paul was in high school in North Carolina, and this is not a great comparison, but just this is what I think of when you talk about a point guard and a 4-year guy and all that. When he signed with Wake Forest, Dave Telep, who at the time was one of the recruiting gurus, now he's working for the Spurs.
Awesome dude.
Great dude. And whenever somebody big would sign with somebody big, I would call Dave Telep and ask him, who is this guy? You know, who is Chris Paul? What does it mean? And he was wrong on Paul. I think a lot of people were. We didn't, because back then, 6'1" guys didn't turn pro fast. They just didn't happen. He said, Chris Paul's the kind of guy that you're going to give him the ball, and 4 years later, your team will be much better off than it was. He's going to be a legend in this program. Well, Chris Paul was better than anybody thought, and, you know, turns pro after 2 years. But Finney is that kind of guy. You give him the ball, and 4 years later, your program's better, and you're going to go down as kind of a legend in your program. Now, could he be a pro someday? I mean, he could. He's not a Chris Paul explosion athlete. He's quick, but Paul is a above-the-rim exploder, and Finney's not that. But when he does shoot, he makes it. You know, he just, I don't know if he needs more confidence or if he needs more arrogance, almost. Like, you can be almost too unselfish, and, like, sometimes the best look is your look. Go take it, Rob Finney. I know Archie Miller's on him a lot. Shoot it more. He's shooting 41% from three right now in limited shots.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, always brought to you by Coffee Crossing. As we watched IU and Louisville unfold, I couldn't help to think a couple things when I looked at the coaches in that game, Archie Miller and Chris Mack. And I've said the same thing, similar things about Archie and Chris Holtman at Ohio State on this program before, but I couldn't help to think that we're watching two of the great younger coaches in college basketball, not just for X's and O's and what they've done at other programs now that they're moving up to high major, top tier level programs with IU and Louisville, but also with recruiting. Look at what Chris Mack has already done at Louisville for next year's recruiting class. Look at what he was able to get, some of the players he kept or was able to get at Xavier. And then, of course, Archie Miller kind of locking down the borders with Romeo and Trace Jackson Davis, and perhaps Keon Brooks is next, and others in the 2018 class as well. I don't want to leave them out. But as I watched kind of one of the off-the-court things, I couldn't help to think that, my goodness, we're watching two really good teams with really good coaches and guys that I think years down the road will have battles, whether they play again in the regular season and renew that series, or whether it's in some great NCAA tournament matchup at a Final Eight or Final Four in a future year. I just think those two guys are going to be around at both of those programs for a long while.
Yeah, and I don't know if I've told you about this with Chris Mack, just, you know, yes or no. Have we talked much about, do you have any idea how I feel about Chris Mack?
No.
Oh, good. Okay, this will be new. You know how I feel about Archie. I've said that a whole lot, so let me not waste any more time on that. Let's talk about Chris Mack. You know, I've covered college basketball for some 20 years, and for CBS for a lot of that, and so I knew a lot of guys. In my lifetime, there's been I don't even know who else is on the list. It might be a list of one, and Chris is one, of guys that I like so much that I wish you were my friend, whether you coached or not. And that doesn't mean that I don't like anybody else at that level, but Chris actually would give me that kind of time and access and just so regular. I wrote a story about him for CBS. He was at Xavier, of course. I was living in Cincinnati. I wrote a story about him for CBS back then. He was coaching his daughter's 9- and 10-year-old CYO or Catholic school team during the season. So he'd go to a Xavier practice and then drive to the Catholic school where and then coach his team's game on the sideline. You don't do that. People don't do that. But he's not normal. He's wonderful, and he's also exceptionally good. I mean, he went to Louisville, and he could have gone to about 10 other places. Much like Archie, could have left Dayton for a whole bunch of places. Picked a spot, waited for the right one. Mac is the same way. He's turned down a bunch of jobs over the years. Picked a spot, picked the right one, and he's going to win huge. But it doesn't change the fact that whether he's any good or not at basketball, I love that guy. When Xavier would come to town and play Butler, I would go to the JW Marriott where the Xavier team would stay and would hang out in the suite or whatever, the hotel room with Mac and his staff and break down film. And that's actually the first time I saw Zion Williamson. Zion Williamson, Chris Mack hands me a cell phone and says, look at this. And I look at it like, what is that? Because he was, at the time, Zion was like a sophomore or something. I don't know what he was. But he looked like he weighed 320. He looked, you know, heavy and doughy. And then he was jumping, you know, from the rafters through the rim. It was just nuts. And then one more thing about Mac is just, I enjoy this, is that I'm watching Gotham now. It's a show I'm into on Netflix. And there's a bad guy in Gotham right now in season one. No spoilers, because that's where I am, but named Victor Zaz or something. And that's Chris Mack 20 years ago. That is him. And so I take photos of Victor Zash and I text it to Mac. And like, I don't know how you have time to do both of these. You're coaching and you're killing people in Gotham, but good for you.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, with us. Big Ten Conference. Everybody in the conference has played two early games. IU is one of five teams that has a 2-0 record. And boy, those two early wins for those five teams, including Indiana, I think will be very, very big as the full conference slate begins in January. Some surprises, I think, in a good way with the conference. We've talked about this a bit. But now that those first two games are in the book, kind of your thoughts on the conference now that we're in the season and maybe where you project Indiana at this point of the non-conference schedule with that full conference schedule looming?
Well, it's better than I think anybody thought. I mean, I think as of last week or so, they had, maybe 2 weeks ago, they had eight or nine teams ranked. And if I'm off by one, maybe I am, but they had another couple, three also receiving votes. And while they don't, maybe Michigan, maybe, they don't seem to have just a dominant team. Like there's not a Duke and potentially a Gonzaga and maybe a Kansas. And I guess from here, I'm just talking about from a pure talent standpoint, there's not like a team with 14 lottery picks on the roster. But Michigan, you know, John Beilein is just, you know, he's an orchestra guy, teacher. I mean, he turns basketball into philosophy. I mean, he's brilliant is what he is. So what the offense they run is just ridiculous. I mean, he's just too good. And so because of Beilein, I guess my point is Beilein is their NBA lottery pick talent. I mean, he's just that good. So, yeah, this conference is brutal. It's brutal. And to be off to a 2-0 start and only a handful of teams are, I mean, that's where you need to be because you're going to take some lumps. I mean, ain't nobody going 16-0 in this league. I don't care how good you are, Michigan. You're not doing it either. There's going to be a lot of losses. And I think the conference has seen, because once you enter, you need your RPI up and all that stuff up now. Because once you start beating teams up, it can't rise a whole lot more. So you better take care of business in the non-conference so that you can withstand when all the, you know, the Hunger Games and everybody starts beating everybody up. That's where the Big Ten is right now. I don't know what the record is for Big Ten teams in the tournament. And they got 14 schools. They got a lot of them. But they're going to come close to approaching that. And they're going to get a whole bunch of high seeds.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star of the segment presented by Coffee Crossing. One final quick IU thing, and then I've got two little tidbits I want to hit you with before we let you go. IU Butler, I know we've talked about this before. I know we've talked about the Crossroads Classic before and your thoughts on it, but I can't remember. Are you a fan of IU and this event in the state, or are you no longer a fan after it's, some people say, worn its course here over the last number of years?
No, this is what we need. This is I realize that of those four schools and Butler's, I mean, they're all great. They're all great, but I realize of those four, IU is the more of the national brand, more. They're all national, but IU's more. And IU can play anybody they want on Saturday, December 15th. They can play anybody they want, and they can play anywhere they want. And so some people don't want to see them kind of, I don't know. I don't think Butler and turning out Purdue and Notre Dame, they don't need anybody's help. Like IU, this is not IU playing Fort Wayne and really giving Fort Wayne a break. You know, this is, those schools don't need anybody's help. IU is doing this for the state and for itself and for basketball and overall. We need this event now that we have it. Now, if we didn't have this event, we wouldn't know we need it. But we know we have it, and I know we need it. This is, our state is special. And if we don't have events like this, it loses a little bit. We'll still be special for basketball. But this, I mean, this is a celebration of basketball in our state. I mean, that day is huge. And to take that away, IU has, my bottom line is this, IU has a responsibility as IU to keep playing in that game for the good of this whole state. You are the flagship university. You've got more wind in your sails because of who you are than any school in this state. You give back a little bit and keep playing in this game. And I don't see any reason why they wouldn't.
Greg, I'll have to admit I've lost a little bit of track or of maybe interest. I hate to say that, but I'm sure a lot of others down this way will agree on the Pacers. Now that college basketball and high school hoops are in full swing, I do keep up enough to know that Victor Oladipo has been out but is expected to return soon for the Pacers. But even with that said, the Pacers have been finding a way to win even without him. So it's going to be interesting to see if his return can continue to spark this team in the right direction and maybe take him to the next level.
Yeah, I was there last night for their fourth straight win without Oladipo. It's really kind of weird. Last year they were 40, and I just wrote the story before you and I talked. It'll be online pretty soon. I'll be tweeting it out hopefully in about 15 minutes. But the Pacers went, I believe, 45-28 with him last year, and then 0-7 without him. 0-7. This year they are 10-6 with him, 7-4 without him. Those are basically identical winning percentages. So they're the same team with and without him, which is not at all a slight on Victor Oladipo. What that means is something has clicked with a handful of these guys. Miles Turner, especially with his defense and his rebounding, Bogdanović with his shooting, and Collison with his playmaking, just in the last couple of weeks have taken it to levels they haven't had in some of those cases ever. Like Bogdanović is the best basketball of his career, Turner the best rebounding of his career, Collison has had a resurgence of his career in the last 2 weeks, and as they were all saying last night in the locker room, there's no reason why they can't continue that once Victor comes back, and now you've got a team that was really good with Victor and really good without him. Well, then what are we looking at once Victor comes back? Because Victor's not the kind of guy that's going to I'll just say it. You add Paul George, you bring Paul George back, and you wonder, oh, crap, here it goes. Because George is just not that kind of a teammate. He's an oh, crap, here we go kind of teammate. Victor is a holy cow, how much better are we going to get kind of teammate. So this is going to be fun to watch.
Final thing, you've shared so much with us about your friendship with Tyler Trent, and since we started talking about him from time to time on this program, he's really went to a national stage as far as some of the opportunities that he's had. Awesome to see him at the College Football Awards. I saw so many pictures of him with the Heisman Trophy winner and, of course, with Purdue coaches and players, and getting an opportunity to speak on stage and receive a standing round of applause from all the big dogs in college football. It's just so awesome.
I was at the Purdue game that night. They played Maryland. And Tyler gets his award down there, and we don't get to see it because we're watching Purdue. It's fine. We're watching his school. Well, in the second half, during the timeout, they announced what had happened in Orlando. I mean, everybody knew, but they announced what had happened, and they played the clip for us. You've never heard 15,000 people be this quiet. I mean, normally they play these clips. They do whatever they do during timeouts. We've all seen it, and there's a buzz in the arena because some people are paying attention, and a lot of people are just kind of chatting now, because now it's time to talk because it's timeout. Not anybody talking. I mean, it was beautiful. And then when it was over, standing ovation for a kid that wasn't even there. Just, I get to go see him tomorrow. And that little greedy, I always bring him food. You know, he likes food. So I asked him, what do you want tomorrow? Do you know? And he goes, I like McDonald's breakfast burritos, but I'm in the mood for Chick-fil-A. Can you get both? So we might be having a lot of breakfast burritos tomorrow from a couple different places, but it's a treat to be near that kid. One more thing. People are around him a lot and send him stuff, and you see his name and you see him out there, and not any of us are doing this to be great people. We're doing it because we're selfish. And we want to be near that. Sorry.
Absolutely, Greg. Great, great stuff, and send our well wishes. Appreciate you sharing that with us every week.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll tell him you said hi, and he's going to want to know, when are you going to bring him some food?
Greg, thanks so much for being with us. It's always a treat to have you, and appreciate you, sir.
All right, Matt. Thanks. Bye. Right,
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Segment presented by Coffee Crossing. When you are looking for great coffee in downtown New Albany, don't forget about their sister company, 410 Bakery and Cafe. Great coffee, great bread, and great pastries as well. Now serving breakfast and lunch at 410 Bakery and Cafe. Greg Doyle, always fun to have. An awesome, awesome guy. And I am so thankful that he takes time out on Tuesdays to be with us for a few minutes. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back and talk more IU basketball as we close the program today. Mike Pegram of Pegs.com with us after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com on this Tuesday edition of the program. And Mike, coming out of a big win for IU, we want to recap not only that, but talk generally about the team and maybe about Butler and that game coming up this weekend as well. But before we do any of that, I got an opportunity Saturday night after IU's win over Louisville to go check out Silver Creek for the first time this season. I mentioned that on Monday's show. Trey Kaufman received one of our hypothetical game balls on Monday for his big performance over the weekend and really last week as a whole as well. And I know that you recently put up some stuff on him at the Pegs.com site as he's becoming a prospect and a player to watch, even from an IU perspective here over the next couple of years.
Yeah, I believe so. In fact, in the last 10 minutes, I put extensive video of Trey from a game he had up here in Jennings County recently. And when I cut the video this morning, I got an even greater appreciation of how much talent he really has. Needs to get a little bit more explosive off the floor, but that's often the case with somebody growing like he is right now. But he's put on, he's grown 3 inches in the last year. Now he's pretty much 6'8", and the kid can really shoot the basketball. He can pass it exceptionally well for someone that big. And, he's got decent back-to-the-basket instincts. He's definitely one to watch for Indiana, Purdue, and all that. Those teams have coming down to Silver Creek. Indiana hosted him for Hoosier Hysteria. Louisville hosted him recently. And I think he's on his way to becoming a Big Ten-level target. Already has offers from Indiana State and Evansville. And, when you have a Missouri Valley's offers when you're not just beginning your sophomore year, that's usually a pretty good sign. He might be, eventually a high major player.
Am I right? And I've had other people say this, but he is obviously younger and not as big, but he does resemble Trace Jackson Davis in his appearance.
Yeah, he's Trace Jackson Davis body-wise as when Trace was a freshman or maybe early sophomore, but more of a freshman. And Trace, I think, is a little bit older than your typical player in his class. So, age-wise, he's tracking the same kind of physical appearance as Trace. And that's one of the things I think when I talk about he can be more explosive, because right now he's not a guy who gets up and dunks the ball regularly and really pounds guys inside. But if you remember, Trace wasn't exactly that way in his early years at Center Grove.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, our guest. One other IU general type topic, and this is not a good one I want to bring up. Eric Anderson, former IU star, played in the NBA for a number of years, died earlier this week at the young age of 48. I remember him as a kid watching the Hoosiers. I really didn't realize, to be quite honest, until I read some stories about him over the last, 24 hours or so, about the number of years he played in the NBA and how long his career spanned, the different opportunities he was part of. Freshman of the Year in the Big Ten Conference, I sure did not remember that. He obviously was a great Indiana Hoosier that has gone far too soon, and one of the things Archie Miller talked about last night in his coach's show was Coach Miller was just kind of starting to get to know, as you take over a program and try to have some alumni events to rekindle connections with former players. Eric was one of the guys he kind of was just starting to get to really know, it seemed like.
Yeah, Eric was a McDonald's All-American who led his Illinois team to the state championship game, a Catholic school, and he was Mr. Basketball in Illinois. Started right off with that. He was a huge recruit at the time for the university, and he was always a very reliable mid-range jump shooter, and then expanded his range out to three-point distance. And it was funny because I wrote something about him not starting on that Final Four team. He started his entire career, and then they lost the last game at Purdue, which cost him, I think, an outright Big Ten title. And Bob was so upset with his seniors for letting that happen, and he didn't start Jamal Meeks or Eric Anderson in the tournament. And he accepted that role, and it turned out to be a good for the team. He gave him a shooter off the bench. And when you already had Calvert Chaney and Allen Henderson and some of Damon Bailey in that group, it actually, for chemistry-wise, worked out great, and they just blew through to the Final Four. Didn't have a close game until, they lost to Duke in the Final Four, but he accepted it great, and that's what a great person he was. Just really sad to see someone go at the age of 48.
Talking with Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, IU Basketball, always with Mike when he joins us on Tuesdays. Let's look ahead to IU Butler. Maybe you can give us kind of an early preview. I know everybody is still amped up over the victory over Louisville on Saturday. But this team has to refocus, and a big game coming up against an in-state Division I rival that has had success. Many could argue, more success than Indiana, at least in recent years. So from that standpoint, from an in-state standpoint, a very special game on Saturday. What's the early thought on IU Butler?
This is going to be a really close contest. I was surprised that Butler hasn't garnered some more votes in the AP poll. They're very similar to Indiana, and they're 7-2. Indiana's 8-2. Butler has, they've lost to St. Louis on the road, which is a pretty good team, and they lost to Dayton, but they handled Florida, a pretty good team, Ole Miss, another SEC team. They seem to be playing better. What you like about their team is they have an outstanding point guard in Kamara Baldwin, who can also score to the tune of almost 17 points a game. But he's just a tremendous player. They have guys who can shoot the ball. Sean McDermott, obviously, is an exceptionally good shooter, an in-state guy that we're all familiar with. And they're also picking up for this game, I believe, I'm getting Jordan Tucker eligible, who started his career at Duke, was a former IU target forward, originally from the New York area, who played his final year in a prep school in Georgia. But he's a 6'6 guy who was ranked among the top 75 players, and he's going to be a big addition to this team. And Paul Jorgensen's an outstanding player, having a really good year at the guard position, really up to his scoring, I think, from 10 to 17 a game, 6'2 guy. So, again, he's a really good shooter. This team is just an exceptionally good shooting team, I guess. And inside, they've gotten a boost from Joey Bronk, an infant we all know well, big 6'11 guy from Southport.
Sure.
Played in a lot of big games. And he started to come on after not really doing a lot his first first couple years in Butler. So, they've got a little bit of beef now to go along with those good shooters, but their guys are really kind of stand out right now. But and they might be coming into Indiana with a good forward in Jordan Tucker.
Mike Pegram of Pegs.com, our guest. Mike, you mentioned that video. You can head to Pegs, that's P-E-E GS.com to see some video and some other stuff on Trey Kaufman of Silver Creek, who we started with in this interview earlier, if you want to check that out. One other recruiting note before we close things out today. Archie and some staff were able to get to Southport for the Forum Tip-Off Classic Saturday evening for that big nightcap. It was Center Grove against La Lemire. Kind of an unbalanced matchup because you've got Keon Brooks and Isaiah Stewart, and La Lemire is obviously more of a prep-type elite high school that doesn't have boundaries or rules necessarily to follow going against Center Grove. I know New Albany attempted to play them as well a few years back. But a big matchup. Keon Brooks, a lot of good things being said about his opportunities maybe to be a Hoosier, and I think you guys were able to catch up with him after the game and have some interviews and video available on the site as well for subscribers from that. But any thought from what he had to say Saturday night, any update?
Well, the thing with Keon of late is his interviews sound very pro-Indiana. You know, I don't know if it's just because he's talking to IU media. I mean, but he does sound very good for the Hoosiers. He's really close to Trace, and Trace's commitment has kind of led a lot of speculation that that might be what pushes him over the top. But when you hear Kentucky, he's done a very good job and with their message, and this is far from a done deal, and it may not be anything imminent like we may have thought a couple weeks ago in terms of when his decision might come. But, Keon really looked good, Matt. He was throwing jumpers from deep and mid-range, and he's a tremendous talent. He's an instant impact guy for whoever lands him, and he, I think he's in the best position, but there may be a few more weeks, maybe a month or more before he really gets serious about this.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, with us always on Tuesdays. Great stuff on IU basketball. Mike, thanks for the chat.
All right, Matt. Take care.
All right, that will wrap things up for this Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report. Don't forget, we're here each weekday at 11 a.m. You can catch the replay at 3 as well. Podcast available on SoundCloud and on Apple Podcast. Also, two easy ways to listen to us on demand at your convenience. Thanks so much for being with us today. A lot of stuff coming up this week. Another big weekend of high school and college basketball. Keep it locked right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison on the Big X Sports Radio.